and welcome. You're listening to The Broadband Exchange, the podcast from your friends at Telecompetitor. I'm Ian Desher, Pivot's Director of Media and Story and Managing Editor of Telecompetitor. It's time to review this week's broadband news. Let's get into it. We'll start this week in Alaska, where GCI is adding Starlink bonded gateways to strengthen the resilience of its network. For any operator, backup routes matter. Geography, weather, limited road access, and long middle-mile distances can make redundancy both expensive and essential. GCI has spent years building a hybrid network that uses fiber, microwave, satellite, and wireless technologies to serve communities across Alaska. The new move adds Starlink to that mix as another way to reinforce connectivity. The idea was not to replace GCI's existing network, but to provide additional resiliency at key locations. For rural Alaska, especially some of the more remote areas, that kind of layered approach can be especially valuable. Next, let's move to fiber supply and data centers, where Amazon announced a multi-year, multi-billion dollar agreement with Corning. Under the deal, Corning will supply optical fiber, cable, and connectivity products for Amazon's expanding data center infrastructure in the United States. Corning said the agreement would create about 1,000 advanced manufacturing jobs at its North Carolina facilities, along with hundreds of construction jobs tied to facility expansion. There's also a workforce development component to the deal. Amazon and Corning said they would work together to expand Corning's fiber optic technician training program at Catawba Valley Community College. The program is designed to prepare students for careers in fiber optic manufacturing and related technical roles. AI and cloud infrastructure are pulling hard on the same fiber supply chain that supports broadband deployment, of course. The data center boom is also a story about glass, cable, labor, construction, and logistics. When hyperscalers like Amazon sign these multi-billion dollar supply agreements, smaller providers should pay attention to what that means for availability, lead times, and pricing. Staying with policy and broadband deployment, a new report from the Pew Charitable Trusts argued that state broadband offices will remain critical as BEAD and other broadband initiatives move forward. The report said state broadband offices had become key enablers of various federally funded programs like BEAD and ARPA. Pew argued that those offices need enough authority and capacity to keep doing the work after money is awarded and projects move into implementation. State broadband offices are also often responsible for mapping, grant design, program oversight, coordination with local and tribal governments, technical assistance, and accountability. In some states, Pew said lawmakers may need to reconsider sunset dates so offices don't shut down before the broadband work is finished. In others, states may need to give broadband offices more authority to collect data, oversee programs, and participate actively in deployment. Pew's point is that state broadband offices' work isn't done, and states that invested in strong broadband offices may be better positioned to make sure federal funds actually become useful networks. Now let's turn to cybersecurity. Comcast Business launched Security Edge Preferred nationwide. Comcast describes Security Edge Preferred as a network-native cybersecurity service for small businesses. The service is built into Comcast's network infrastructure and uses AI-powered threat intelligence to identify and adapt to emerging attack patterns. It monitors incoming and outgoing traffic in real time, blocking malware, ransomware, phishing attempts, and botnets before they reach connected devices. The product also includes advanced filtering to block malicious IP addresses and restrict traffic from high-risk regions. Application-level controls were designed to prevent unauthorized software from accessing the network, and small business owners could monitor activity through a live dashboard. Comcast said the service is priced at $40 per month for Comcast Business Internet customers with speeds below 1 gigabit per second, and $60 per month for customers at 1 gigabit or above. That launch came against a tough security backdrop for small businesses. Comcast cited its own 2025 cybersecurity threat report, which drew from 34.6 billion security events across its network. The company also said that in May, Security Edge Preferred blocked an average of more than 230 cybersecurity threats per second targeting small businesses. In a related research story, a new Identity Theft Resource Center report found that unauthorized access to computers and mobile devices has become a bigger problem than scams for people ages 35 to 64. The report said unauthorized access rose 78% year over year, increasing from 15.3% to 27.2% of all identity compromises. Over the same period, scams involving the sharing of personal information actually declined from 43.1% to 36.1% of identity compromises. The report also found that more than a quarter of identity crime victims were dealing with two or more concurrent incidents. And the recovery picture is uneven. More than half of victims with no financial loss reported that their cases were resolved, but only 9% of victims with a financial impact said the same. For broadband providers, it's a reminder that the homes and businesses you protect are under constant threat, and that the nature of those threats continues to evolve. And of course, we all know that providers often aren't responsible for every device or every problem on a network, but customers often look to them first when something goes wrong. Speaking of connected devices, AT&T launched an unlimited day pass for iPad users. The new offer gives users 24 hours of unlimited wireless data on a cellular-equipped eSIM-capable iPad for just $3. AT&T said the first day pass would be complimentary with future passes purchased by credit or debit card. The pass can be activated directly from the iPad settings, and users don't need to be existing AT&T customers. This was a small product launch, but it's interesting because it reflects what could be a shift in connectivity expectations. Not every customer wants another monthly subscription. Some want connectivity only when they really need it. AT&T's pitch was essentially on-demand mobile data, sold in a way that made cellular feel closer to a utility you turn on when you need it. And I also thought it was fascinating that by opening to anyone, regardless of carrier, AT&T is making an implicit play for other carriers' customers. And speaking of mobile carriers, regional broadband providers, as you know, are continuing to look at mobile as an extension of the customer relationship. And that was evidenced this past week as Dobson Fiber launched Dobson Mobile in Oklahoma and Arkansas, making the 90-year-old regional telecom firm the latest broadband provider to offer a branded national 5G mobile service. Dobson Mobile was launched in partnership with Reach, which provides the platform behind activation, billing, support, and other mobile service functions. The service offers buy-the-gig and unlimited plans. This is a strategy that you're familiar with, of course. Local and regional broadband providers don't necessarily own their own mobile networks, but they do own the customer relationships. A branded mobile offer can help them defend those relationships, add revenue, and make their customers a little stickier. Now let's turn to some AI news. Apple launched Siri AI, an artificial intelligence-powered version of its personal assistant. The feature is currently available for developer testing with a beta release planned later this year. Apple said Siri AI will be built on Apple Intelligence and will offer a more capable and conversational assistant with personal context understanding, world knowledge, and on-screen awareness. The assistant is designed to answer questions from the web, use information from a user's messages, emails, photos, and other apps, and take action across Apple devices. T-Mobile also leaned into AI this week with Dynamic CX, a new capability designed to help the network adapt to changing conditions in near real time. Dynamic CX is built on T-Mobile's self-organizing network technology. The new capability monitors public event information and online activity so the network can prepare for major events and adjust as crowds move and demands change. T-Mobile pointed to the World Cup as a major test case, with matches spread across the U.S. host cities and large crowds putting pressure on mobile networks. Which brings us to our final item this week, the World Cup. We'll close with soccer and broadband. The World Cup prompted a wave of announcements from broadband providers, wireless carriers, and technology companies trying to connect the tournament to their networks and their brands. Verizon, the official telecommunications services sponsor for the tournament, said it had deployed 5G and fiber upgrades across U.S. host stadiums and FIFA fan festival locations. The company added spectrum capacity, underseat antennas, and nearly 140 small cells and temporary cell sites to handle anticipated fan demand. Verizon estimated that in-venue network throughput would increase by 3 to 5 times and that fans could consume more than 50 terabytes of data per match inside stadiums alone. Comcast Xfinity announced World Cup viewing features for its X1 platform, including real-time 4K conversion for all 104 matches, Dolby Vision HDR, Dolby Atmos audio, the ability to watch up to 4 broadcasts at once, and AI-powered highlight clips. D-Kicks upgraded connectivity between Mexico and Dallas ahead of the tournament, and Omdia reported that global TV shipments rose 6% year-over-year in the first quarter as retailers built inventory before the World Cup. So yes, the World Cup is about soccer, or football, depending on who you're talking to, But for our industry, it's also about capacity planning, video quality, edge connectivity, mobile densification, customer promotions, and the beautiful game of everyone asking the network to do everything at once. And that's it for this week. Thank you for listening to the Broadband Exchange. You can read all the articles we mentioned today at telecompetitor.com. Feel free to drop us a line while you're there. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.